Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hi, my name is Harriet Dart, and this is Drop Shot.
The summer sun is bursting with warmth, as it should do at this time of year, and I've got in early today, and I'm enjoying a stroll of calmness through the grounds as the stewards, volunteers, food sellers, and ground staff go about their business, preparing the venue for the public and the players. The aroma of cut grass is thick in the air, and I smile at everyone I pass. I tell you, I'm tripping on grass. Because I'm early, there's time to sit down with Roz Sattar from Britwatch Sports, and we're going to talk through some of the odd moments and matchups that we've had in this tournament so far. I also want to get her views on the state of British tennis. Let me just test the level. Thank you very much. How am I? I'm fine, thank you, me. Yes, I'm...
One, two, three, four.
That's the kind of shit I have to put up with. Testing, when something's working really, really well and you still keep testing, it's not testing anymore. It's just damn annoying. Anyway, we're going to check for your level now, Ros. I'm going to keep calm today. What did you have for breakfast today?
Well, I had yogurt, coffee, and then just put my feet up and watched the telly.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
I'm Ros Sattar and I'm from Britwatch Sports.
How do you feel that the young British players are doing? We'll look at the women first. What do you think of this group that we have at the moment? Okay, we've got Konta, who's almost like the grandma or the grand dame, as it were, now of the British girls. Yeah. And then you've got Bolter, Swan, Dart. How do you see how the British game is at the moment for the girls?
I think there's a lot of potential strength in depth, and you could see that at Fed Cup. You had Bolter and Joe doing the business. You had Heather waiting in the wings. You had Harriet Dart. You also had Katie Swan out there. And then, as you say, you've got Emma Raducanu. You've got Katie Dunn as well. You've got Freya Christie that's done a little bit of Fed Cup hitting and the like. You know, Eden Silver. There's a lot of players, but, you know, it's just whether they can make that all-important transition from the lower tier of the tour to the higher tier of the tour.
We have so many women in that sort of lower bracket, the low 100s and down. How do they make that jump into being closer to the top 100? Because that's where the game changes. Yeah. For a player.
Couple of things, I think. They ought to use whatever wild cards they get in the grass court season here to really use that as a platform to try and bump themselves up. And then it's just wins and hard work. I'm not saying that none of them are hard workers, but it really comes down to that. It's winning consistency at the higher ITF levels, are those that give you the slightly more points that get you into the qualifying draws of the tour. And basically, as soon as they can get into the qualifying draws, play against the better players all the time.
I spoke to Katie Dunn at Surbiton a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to her about wildcards, and she said,
"You're being given wildcards, but then you're also playing players who are ranked higher, so you feel like because you've got the wildcard, you need to either take advantage of it or show that you deserve the wildcard." So I used to put too much on the outcome, whereas now this year I'm quite happy. I'm enjoying my tennis, so I'm not so worried about all of that, and I'm just taking each match as it comes and playing like it's any other tournament in another country, and looking at it in terms of it's a block of four or five tournaments, and it's such a small part of our year that it's not the be-all and end-all.
Actually, a wild card gives you the opportunity to go and play against these people with freedom and learn something from it. And I think that's also the point of wildcards, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. That a lot of them will be given opportunities in the Challengers, ITFs and the grass court tournaments. Take them with both hands, because it'll put you up against top players. See where your game really is at, but it give, you know, you've got nothing to lose, absolutely nothing to lose. So go and hit free, because all the pressure is going to be on the other person.
Okay, so who's your tip for the next 12 months to come through?
It's difficult. I mean, I think I'd like to see Harriet being a little bit more consistent. I'd like Katie Bolter to be back and fit and healthy. She's had like awful injury issues, so it's a bit of a shame that she's struggling now. And then after that, any of them would be good to see. You know, I think Emma Raducanu is a bit young. She's still at school. But, you know, but I've spoken to Nigel Sears a lot about her. He's very excited about the potential. And that's all it is unlocking that potential.
There does seem to be a difference. So when we look at teenagers and from other countries, they get established. They seem to be established earlier. I mean, you just look at the French Open with three teenagers going through into the fourth round and beyond. And we don't seem to have players ready at that sort of age.
We don't, and I think it's because players from other countries also play across a wealth of surfaces. In fact, if anything, you know, sometimes they'll struggle when they get to grass because they don't have as much. You know, the Czechs always say, we don't have grass in Czech Republic. I'm pretty sure they do, but, you know, because they're all very good on grass. But you know, Tsitsipas said something very interesting in that, you know, he thinks all kids should learn to play on clay very early because it gives you a lot of skills in terms of movement. You have to be very sharp on your movement. I don't think we do that enough here. I think we have people on hard and on grass. And, like, the indoor clay courts that are around are almost like, you know, hallowed ground you can't possibly play on. You know, they should have a far better grounding across everything.
And that actually does lead to another point in the fact that I remember when I was growing up, I always used to love to, I played tennis a lot, and then I didn't grow tall enough to develop further, as it were. But I'm blaming my height, nothing to do with my skill. I could have been a contender, but I used to get up early in the morning and meet friends to play tennis. And where I lived, there was, you could choose one of four different public courts to go and play on. And I now know that none of those four courts exist. And I think this is a story across the country because of probably land development and things. And that has to be an issue, doesn't it?
It does, it does. I think tennis clubs to actually like have people play on a regular basis with protected courts, if you will, are still very expensive for families to sort of sign up to. I have my lessons and play on a YMCA court. But yeah, and it's pretty cheap. It's like £5 for an hour. So four of us are playing, you know, you'll book it for a couple of hours between you, and it's fine. But those are sort of few and far between. I'm seeing a few more. There's one that I pass on the way to work that seems to be very, very popular. So that there are around, but I think you have to put in a bit of effort as well. I think there's also an element of people thinking, well, why doesn't it just turn up at the bottom of my garden?
Well, I think that's true, but I also think, I guess tennis is going through a makeover period at the moment. I've spoken to people about the root and branch system and how they are trying to get people back onto courts and stop this feeling, especially in this country, that tennis is an elitist sport.
Yeah, I can still see why it's seen as that, and it's a shame. And the LTA, I think, still have a long way to go to turn that around. They do have the right kind of idea with getting kids involved, but you only tend to see a lot of this when it's the grass court season. You don't really see a lot of it afterwards. So I think they should do more during US Open build-ups and stuff to get kids interested. Because that's how most kids watch, is they'll watch a player and they'll try and be like that player.
I love people like Tsitsipas with his own YouTube channel and making himself accessible and his world accessible. I think that engenders such interest and support from younger people.
Yeah, and maybe he's actually tapping into something that perhaps we ought to consider. I mean, you know, I think that we're fairly down with the kids, you and I, Kerry. But, you know, YouTube channel stuff, Instagram channel, that's where most youngsters do follow. Not me. They'll just go on their parents' Amazon Prime subscription. But, you know, they'll follow their players through that medium. So the savvy players who've tapped into social know that they're building up their fan base.
So I just want to move on to the men's game quickly. It's been an interesting summer, I think, for people discovering young British players. You've got Jack Draper winning his first game on a pro circuit. I was one of the three people who watched that indoors at Nottingham last week, and it was amazing. And talked to him afterwards, and he's going, "This is the biggest moment of my career," and the world couldn't share it, which I found tragic.
Yeah, it was great. It's like a career high win for me. So it's a good first match after being, you know, on and off of injuries for a while. So I'm very thankful for the LTA for giving me a welcome to this event and giving me the opportunity to, you know, play at this high level.
We've also got Paul Jubb, who's coming through. There's a lot of interesting players coming through.
It's interesting that he says that's the biggest moment of his career, having been a finalist in the boys' Wimbledon Championship. But I think that shows that his mentality is looking at the longer game. It's not just about that one great performance at Wimbledon. It's now how can you translate to that to the tour, which is great to see. And Paul Jubb, I mean, I'm really excited about getting to watch him.
Yeah, I've seen Jubby. I'm allowed to call him Jubby. It's funny because we spoke to his coach at Surbiton, and he was calling him Jubby. And then I made a comment and said, where's Jubby going next? And Gary, you well know my partner, said, "Oh, that's typical. You always think everyone's your friend. You can't call him Jubby." And so I asked the coach, and he said, "Well, I think it'd be all right, but you have to ask him personally." I saw your coach, and I just want to get this officially. I mentioned you as Jubby, and he said I'd have to get your permission to call you Jubby. So is it okay if I call you Jubby?
Yeah, for sure. I don't like it when people call me Paul anyway, so it sounds weird.
I can officially call him Jubby.
Fabulous.
But he, away from that, as I digress, he is a very interesting character. Yeah. He's got an amazing game. He reminds me of Deminor in the way that he scampers everywhere. Ah. I think he's got to probably fill out a bit more, but he looks a good prospect.
Yeah, I'm going to be very excited to see him in action. The first opportunity, probably Wimbledon, if not Eastbourne. It's an amazing backstory as well. You know, lost his parents at a very young age, was raised, I think, by his grandmother, and just the sheer sort of force of will to go out to the States because he knew he wasn't going to get the chances. You know, that's determination for you. I've got to say it, that's the kind of Murray determination that we saw. It's like kind of, I'm not going to get what I want here. I don't want what's coming here. I want to go there. And it's paid off for him. So it'll be interesting. I mean, we've been lamenting for quite some time, what are we going to do when Andy goes? Maybe, just maybe.
Yeah, I think the future is in very capable and interesting hands. And I think he's got that American mentality. He was talking to me about the fact that it's very different coming over here and being amongst individuals again, because everything there in the college system is all about team spirit.
Just the environment where you're training over there, the team environment, pushing each other day in, day out. Like, you know, it's everyone's there helping each other, whereas, you know, sometimes over here you get the feel like you're competing against one another, and because it's all individual, we don't have like the college team aspect.
Yeah, and you get the same message if you talk to Cam Norrie as well, because he was very much a product of the collegiate system, and he thinks that it's prepared him really well. So it'll be really good to see, and, you know, look at Cameron's rise last year. You know, it'll be interesting to see if Paul can build on the same, because I don't know him well enough to call him Jubby, of course. It'll be interesting to see how he builds up on that, for sure.
I'm sure when you meet him, you can ask him and he'll let you call him. He's a generous kind of guy. But the other person I'd like to mention, somebody I'm really interested in because I think his story is interesting, and I think he could become a decent player, is Jay Clark.
Yes, same kind of thing. You know, he's had to fight for, you know, every bit of access that he's got. And I think he doesn't lack for determination, has a good close-knit family sort of group around him to support him. I'd love to see him really progress. I think it will do the world of tennis no end of good to have a couple of people of colour representing us, not just Heather. you know, when my parents were considering what sports to put me in, one of the things that they thought was there was very few people. And yeah, I mean, this is going back a million years when dinosaurs held rackets in their teeny tiny paws, but, you know, there were very few people of colour playing it. And at a time when there weren't that many in our town and, you know, you kind of stuck out like a sore thumb, I think my parents' view was, let's find something where you can actually kind of blend in and not feel too sort of different. Yeah, if they can see them, and it's not just them. Obviously, you've got Emma Raducanu, you've got Fred Christie, you know, there are George Lofhagen is another one. You know, these are players that I'd love to see coming through, just to encourage people from a BAME background to consider tennis as a sport. Again, kids identify with what they see. If you see someone that looks like you, and maybe talks like you, on telly, then you're going to want to aspire to do that, and you believe it's possible. So I think that will do tennis, British tennis in particular, the world of good.
And I think someone like Jay, it's interesting because, again, it's a slightly different way that he's come through. You've talked about the family supporting him. Is that usual or unusual in the tennis world?
I think it's fairly usual. I mean, I think if your kid decides to do tennis, it's a pretty expensive hobby to put them through. So I don't think it's that unusual. And there are plenty of people that are coached by family members or have family members very much in their entourage. But the fact that they all played tennis, and, you know, and therefore they actually come at it with a sense of knowledge rather than a sense of protection more than anything else. But I think that's good for him.
Yeah, because Yaz played for GB, didn't she?
I believe she did.
I think she and her brother had to basically give up, I think, to work out how to support Jay. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, no, I think so. And again, I think that's the selflessness that comes with family members being involved at that early stage of your career. And we've seen it a lot. We've heard many times about the sacrifices that Yuri Sharapov made to get Maria over to the States, and, you know, the rest is history. So it's not unusual, but again, it's a great backstory.
So where can we see players like Jay developing, and how they move on, and where they can move on to, or where he can move on to?
Again, just plying his trade at the challenges and working his way up, take the opportunities, and I think he does take the opportunities that come when he's on home soil. But in the meantime, he puts in the effort on the challenges, gets his results. I think he's got like a challenger title, so he's on the right track for sure.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because we hear about these whirlwind stories. I mean, you look at Alex de Minaur last year, from 180 odd up to 26. And actually, you look at Jay's progress, it's actually pretty quick as well. It's just not as a huge leap of 100-odd in a season.
And also, there's a pressure that comes when you do fly up. You know, so Alex, I think, has seen it a little bit this year. Cam Norrie has sort of seen it a little bit this year as well. You know, flying up the rankings with one or two or, you know, a series of good weeks is one thing. Staying there, that's the challenge.
I think you're absolutely right. It's consolidation and trying to stay somewhere once you get there, because it's very easy to tumble right back down.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what builds the character and drives the determination, I think.
Probably the biggest surprise for me of the tournament so far was seeing Harriet Dart and Venus Williams pair up in the doubles.
I know. It's like, what? But, you know, give Dart her due. She was scampering about all over the place like a frightened bunny. Well, not frightened bunny, actually. Like a right, come and have a go if you're hard enough bunny, I think. So it was great. It was great to see. The tournament decided to put it together. And Venus actually agreed, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, the tournament suggested it. And, she agreed to it. So that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I mean... We spoke a bit before the match and stuff, and she's super nice and very friendly, and made me feel very comfortable on the court. And it was a difficult one yesterday. We lost in a super tiebreak and a few points here and there, and it could have been a different match.
We had a blast. She's clearly very passionate about the game and is putting the work in. And as a young person, it takes time to, you know, figure out your game, figure out your strengths, figure out how to play against these players with more experience. So she's got plenty of time to figure it out and to continue to grow. and she definitely showed like flashes of brilliance out there in the doubles, and you know, it was a lot of fun, and I wish we could have had a little more time to get used to playing with each other, and I thought we had a great showing, and you know, almost won against the did we play the number one seeds? Yeah, I think we played the number one seeds. So that was, you know, a great performance from us.
Playing with Venus was very special, and it was a massive opportunity for me, and I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, what was it actually like on court? Because you were running around all over the place. Did you feel like you were able to match the legend?
I mean, I think that's pretty tough to do. But, you know, it was an amazing experience for me, and honestly just a privilege to be able to share the court with her.
And that's got to be good for a young British player to play alongside, because there was a real feel of nurture about the game. Venus seemed to be helping her through it all, and Harriet was responding. I thought it was a very interesting relationship.
It was, and I think maybe she learnt from being... she played her idol, Maria Sharapova, in Australia this year and got thumped off the court. And maybe I think she learnt from the fact that if you're with a legend, you know, learn from them by all means, but don't feel that you're less of a player because you're playing with a legend. And hopefully that will actually sort of serve her in good stead.
I just wonder if there's a chance of them pairing up again, because what surprised me in all of the however many years Venus has been playing, she's only ever had 9 doubles partners.
Yeah, I thought that was a strange thing as well. I doubt that they'll pair up again. I think at the back of Venus's mind is Tokyo 2020. So she needs to get some doubles, because I don't think her singles ranking is going to be good enough. And if Serena wants to carry on playing as well, they're going to both have to get some time in. But, I mean, again, you know, how many gold medals have they got in the Olympics? You wouldn't want to bet against them if they turned up at 2020.
She's a great person and an unbelievable champion. And, you know, being able to not only be on the court with her, but also playing with her was something quite special, and not many people have managed to do.
So that was, you know, a great performance from us. And with Serena's permission, maybe we'll play together again.
One thing that's been interesting is Kristina Pliskova. We don't see her often on the tour, on the big events. She's very similar to her sister in the way that she plays, identical in the way that she talks. So I'm really looking forward to this particular clash between the twins. Not only is it making history, but it'll be a proper chance to see what she can do.
You were in the press conference last night. Perhaps you could tell me a little bit about what they said. They share a room, don't they, or something? What's the story there?
Yeah, I think they're sharing a room. They don't. It looks like Karolina doesn't have her entire entourage here. Her husband Michael's not here, so I think they're just sharing a room. Although it did make us laugh when she said, "Oh, we're sharing the bed," and we're like, "Really? You're a little old to be doing that at this age." But they're sharing a room. But you know, this is going to be a big thing for them. I mean, I think both of them are a bit trepidatious about facing each other in the main tour. But as Karolina said in her press conference, the worst scenario would have been to do it in a Grand Slam. So, you know, this is probably not as bad.
And, what did they say they were going to do last night? We asked them that.
Shopping. They're going to go shopping. Well, I mean, they're in the right place. Not that this is the reason why I came to study in Birmingham, the shopping malls. But, you know, if they want to go out for a little bit of a purchase, they're in the right place.
I just wonder what it was like last night when they'd all done all their shopping, they've got out of the way, and then they go to bed.
Yeah, it is going to be strange. I mean, they obviously have played each other at the ITF levels and the like, and, you know, this is when they were in their formative years, probably when their movement wasn't that great. I mean, you know, I think Kristina's ranked just outside the top 100, but she was the first to make a top 100 debut. Obviously, they both won slams in the same year. I mean, you couldn't get more twinish if you actually tried. They both made their top 100 debut in the same year. So I think it'll be interesting. They're a bit kind of, oh, we're going to be okay after this. I think you will. I really think you won't fall out over a second round in Birmingham.
You never know. I mean,
well, there's a story though.
I wonder if they've looked into getting separate rooms after today.
You can ask them.
But do you think it's one of those games where ranking actually suddenly won't mean anything at all?
Yeah, I really do. You know, I think they've both got a game that should adapt well to grass, but Christina's maybe a little bit heavier on the aces, and so if it's maybe a little bit claggier today, she might struggle. But if it brightens up, we could see a lot of aces, and we could see, you know, a lot of tension in that game. I can't wait.
After lower-ranked Christina wins a nervy three-set match against her sister, it will be good to hear the thoughts of Roz and both players.
I mean, for sisters to be nervous when they play is nothing new. We've seen it with the Williams. Their matches sometimes can be a real anticlimax because they don't play freely. And certainly the start and the end of that match was quite, you know, cat on hot tin roofy. It was very edgy from both of them. But you could tell that Christina had a lot more time on grass. She seemed a lot more comfortable. She got into a rhythm a lot quicker than Carolina, who performed better in the second set. But that final set, good Lord, that was just, that was just more nerve endings than a cadaver and a student.
It's just going to be us.
Better.
Carolina, commiserations. How difficult was it, especially with the nerves at the end, from both of you?
Well, of course, difficult. You could see that we were both a little bit nervous in the tiebreak. I think she was for sure playing the first set amazing. There was not many chances for me. I was a little bit, you know, too much waiting for mistakes or too much waiting for what's going to happen. And she was just hitting it and she just went for it and she was serving great. So there was not many chances for me. And then I thought I was better, maybe second, third set a little bit. I had more chances to break already first game after the second game. So I think there was for sure a couple chances where I should or where I could play much better. I think she was definitely better on the serve, which I think on grass is normal, and she's lefty, so the serve was always better. and then of course a little bit unlucky, but I'm happy for her. I think she played some good matches here. She was feeling confident today, so she had nothing to lose. Of course, it's tough to play sister, but I think she was playing good today.
I was going to say, I mean, she's obviously come through qualifying, so do you think it's actually made a huge difference, the amount of matches she's had on here compared to you, maybe?
For sure, because I played, at least I played one lefty girl in the first round, so that's that helped, I think, a little bit, but nobody has really served like she has, so there is not many people which, you know, can serve and at some moments like this, so I think for sure it was difficult. For sure she felt at some maybe points a little bit better because she played already last week on the grass, so there is everything about this, but I've been here a couple of days already too, so for sure I could play better, that's no doubt about that, and hopefully I'm going to improve till Eastbourne. I'm going to go to Eastbourne now, and you know, I think every day on grass is going to be important for me now.
Thank you.
You must know your games inside out, having practiced with each other for so many years. Aside from the emotional aspects of the match, did that make it harder, sort of anticipating what shots she would hit and knowing that she could anticipate what shots you would hit?
Look, we didn't practice that much for the last couple of years. Of course, we did practice here a couple of times, you know, when we had the chance we played together, but we just thought before it's not the best idea to spend too much time on court together, because we are off the court, we are always together. So we didn't play actually maybe in the last, you know, 3-4 years many games, maybe one or two, maybe sometimes more practicing, but not really points. And I knew she's going to be dangerous on serve, and I know she can go, you know, all the serves, so she can mix, and she's lefty, so you cannot leave open some corners to her. So, but she can serve anywhere, so that's where she's dangerous, of course. And from the rally, I thought I was better, and I knew, like, it's going to be, you know, about a couple points, because she can serve well, and then if she doesn't serve well, you just need to do the point. So I think I was anticipating well her shots, because I know and I watched, and I actually prepared quite good, I think, for this match. But you know, it was not my best match for sure today, and I think she played well.
Against most players ranked outside the top 100, I think you'd consider yourself the favourite. Did you consider yourself the favourite today, considering everything else around the match?
Well,
there is a big gap, of course, between us in the ranking. So I should, you know, have won easily or whatever. Maybe everybody thought that, but I think on grass it's a different story. That's first thing, and I think she should not really be where she is. So that's the other thing, because only if she has the serve, I think she's super dangerous for so many players. Plus, if she's playing well, I think she can beat a lot of top players and a lot of, you know, normal players, not even top players. So I think she can be dangerous. Depends how she plays. She needs to improve. I think if she's playing like today or the matches here, what she played, she can beat most of the players. And so, of course, I was a favorite, not only on paper, also about my feeling. But I think grass, as I said, grass is a little bit different story. So you don't have that many chances, and her serve is super effective on grass. So, but I was favorite.
Were you more nervous today with it being your sister on the other side of the net, or did you treat it like another match?
Well, I tried, but the first set was not super, you know, not normal. And of course, there were moments where I was like thinking, should it be better this way, or, you know, you have millions of thoughts during the points and during, you know, when changeovers. So, you know, the mind is going. So it was not a normal match for us. And of course, it was after a couple of years. So I think now it's going to be better anyway when we face again. So it's going to be for sure better. Of course, with nerves, but definitely better.
Will you give any thought to probably talking to the Williams sisters about that sister-sister rivalry and get some inside, like, kind of information on to how to deal with that sister-sister rivalry there? I mean, they've had it over the years.
Well, they played so many times, and I think it's still a little bit different story, so I would not compare them to us. First of all, they are not twins, so there is a gap between them. So I think it's always different. You know, I think nobody can have the feeling what we have as a twins. And on the other hand, they won so much, both of them. So I think it's different than, you know, they never really was like 100 points, 100 spots between them. So, Of course, Serena was always much better, but they won both. I don't know how much together Grand Slams. They won Grand Slams in doubles. So I think it's a different story.
Last night, you talked to us about how you were going to cope with the evening with your sister, that you'd probably go shopping, but it would still be kind of an odd experience because you were sharing the same room. So how was last night for you?
It was a normal night. So we didn't do anything different, and we just went really shopping. And we went to the city and we had dinner together, we had breakfast together, so we only split the warm-up today. But anyway, we just had lunch together, so we did everything as nothing would be happening, because you don't want to do, like, huge drama. Of course, maybe we are both a little bit nervous and like thinking how the match is gonna be, and it was like in the air. But look, she's my sister. Doesn't matter if she beats me or if I win, it's gonna continue to be this way. So the tennis should not be in the way.
So really, what you're saying is the tennis came into play after lunch for you, and then it was business as normal.
Yes, actually, of course, like I said, we both were a little bit maybe nervous, but not about, you know, I was not scared about losing or winning or nothing from this, but because we didn't face each other so many years, so we just didn't know how is it going to be, if the level is going to be okay, or, you know, sometimes we just are laughing to everything. So I think we more didn't know what to expect from this match, and once the match started, I think everything was fine.
Did you play sport together when you were growing up?
Well, sport?
Yeah, any other sport?
Yeah, tennis.
just tennis?
Yeah, just tennis.
Okay, so which one of you is buying dinner tonight?
We had deal before the match that whoever wins is buying something to the other one, so I get a present.
Oh, so it's not just dinner, she's actually going to buy you a gift?
No, I think we do room service today and we just stay together because we share the room, and then maybe because she has day off, so maybe we're going to go shopping again and she pays.
when you were kids, did you ever think of swapping, like, you know, because you're identical twins, swapping each other's names so people didn't know which one of you were?
No, never, because I've heard stories that some of the twins they did, but I didn't never felt like being Christina. And, you know, we were pretty much same in everything, like school, we were pretty bad, so there was no really reason to change. And on the other hand, she was lefty, I'm righty, so that was on the court, it was impossible. And, yeah, no.
And did the Czech press ever get you muddled up?
No, but I mean, they still don't know which one is which. So if we like change clothes and maybe rackets or whatever, then I think they still have trouble still now. So every time they are using pictures on internet, it's like there's story and article about me and picture of Christina or whatever. So I think this is normal, but we never wanted to like really change. Last.
People always talk about the similarities between you, obviously, and your games, but how would you describe the differences between your games and your personalities?
That's a really tough question. I think it's for somebody else to describe. Of course, we are different because we are two people, so whoever wants to compare us, and some people, it's every day a fight that some people are still saying, like, how it's possible, you're better, she's, so always this kind of things we hear, so... But we are two people, so it doesn't matter that we are twins, doesn't matter that we are same age or whatever. It's just two different, completely two different people. We can be similar at some things, we can look same or whatever, but, we behave different, I think, and we think different. I don't know how she thinks, but I'm sure I think different than she. And, Well, still we are twins, but I think there is no reason to compare us as we would be like one person.
You've now beaten Carolina all three times you've played on grass. Do you think you're the better grass player now?
Me?
Yeah. You've won all three times on grass.
It's tough to say. I mean, my serve, of course, on grass, it's a big weapon. So I don't think it would be like this on any other surface. So, but on grass, yeah, I feel good.
It looked very nervy towards the end. Can you just talk us through those last three games and the tiebreak and how you felt?
I mean, it was nervous in the end, but also before the match and also yesterday. So kind of all the time since we knew we were going to play each other. So I think we tried to play calm and just like a normal match, but it's not really easy, when you see on the other side his sister. But yeah, I agree, the end was horrible.
Carolina said that the deal was whoever won was going to buy a present. So have you got any idea of what you're going to buy her?
Yeah, we said this. Actually, it was a bit different because she's more rich than me. So we said if she wins, then she's going to give me her prize money. And okay, if I win, I buy a present. So I just buy a present. It's true.
This is the biggest win of your career in terms of how highly ranked Carolina is. Has that sunk in yet? Is that something you're thinking about?
No, I mean, I don't see her as a top three player. It's my sister, so I just went there for like a different match. But if I would beat someone number one or number two, I would be extremely happy. But like this, I'm normal.
And how excited are you by your form at the moment?
I feel actually good here in Birmingham. I think I play well. And only the nerves affected a little bit this match. But so far, I think I play good. I improved since 1 month ago.
Do you think going through qualifying helped you today?
Yeah, of course. When you get more matches on grass, you feel more confident. So for sure. And I mean, here it's really fast. It's, I think, the fastest grass ever. Then, I mean, also Wimbledon is quite slow compared to here. So you can see the surf is really doing some damage.
So how was last night for you? Because your sister said you went shopping and then you went back to the hotel. Was it easy for you to just forget about that and just be sisters last night and up until lunchtime, I think your sister said?
I think
today.
We were kind of the same, like every day. Of course, we talked a little bit about it and we were a bit, of course, in stress because it didn't happen for 6 years. So it's always, I think when we play more times, we'll be actually better. So this one was the worst. But we were the same like other days.
And where did you go shopping?
Boring.
Okay, and was it the first moment of realisation for you when you realised you're playing your sister? Was that when you're warming up on court today? And how did that feel?
I felt it already in the match yesterday that if I win, I play her. So I was kind of like on one hand happy that I won, then facing Carolina, it's not easy. So, and I felt actually good on court. So I was like, can I play anybody else? Anybody, even guy? So, yeah, but I mean, it's like this, it's sport. And we said like we will try to play normal. And I think it was okay.
I bet it was a special moment for you today playing Carolina on the other side of the net. How proud are you both of each other?
I don't know how about her, but I'm proud of her. She was number one, so she's really doing great, and I think she can win a lot in the future still.
I have a sister. We're not twins, but she does things that really get on my nerves. Is there anything that Carolina does to get on your nerves?
Yeah, of course, sometimes with some little small things like clothes and stuff. Like, but now when we don't spend that much time together, I mean, in the apartment and in the rooms during the tournaments, it's not that horrible. But when we used to play all the time doubles and practicing together, then was tough and we were fighting a lot.
Which of you is the older twin?
I'm older, I think. I answered this question so many times, so I forgot.
when you were kids and you were playing, what was the pressure like on your parents, and how did they handle it?
I think for mom was a bit worse because, you know, to have two kids at the same time and one was always crying, so she really had like no time to rest. So it was tough, but on the other hand, I think they just put us on tennis, so they just drive us like to practice like at the same time. So it was kind of easier that we did the same sport, and I think we are doing it good. So I think they are proud, but it was not easy, and it's still not easy because, let's say, today I think they are dead.
Do you remember the first time you played in the juniors? It was a little tournament in Malta. And if you do remember that, did you ever think you'd one day be here in a premier tournament on the WTA Tour playing each other?
Yeah, when we played, I don't remember, when was it? Juniors?
Juniors in the semifinals in Malta, yeah. In many years ago.
Yeah, I don't think at that time we didn't realize we're going to play that well to be here and play against each other. But I think it was actually, this one was the toughest one so far. So it can get only better, I think, I hope.
Do you think the fact that you and Carolina had each other to play against when you were growing up, do you think that helped you both become professional tennis players?
I think we were always, we always had the best friend on tour, which is not, you know, I think the other girls, you have some friends, but not really during the tournaments. So I think we stay so close, we talk about everything, and she's also helping me so much because sometimes the things which I go through, she also went through, so we kind of have the same feeling. So, yeah, I think it helped us a lot.
It's not been the case at a lot of tournaments where the loser comes in, and yet we had them both here. And I actually thought that was quite classy that they both came in.
Well, I mean, obviously people will ask, you know, I certainly put in for Carolina, win-lose, because you needed to have that sort of aspect of what it was like to face her sister, but also to get a feel for why she thinks her sister is so low-ranked. I mean, today, Christina played, you know, well above her current ranking. She's had a career high of 35, and it shows. She should be up in the top 50, you know, close to the top 30 with a game like that. But yeah, you could see that Christina hasn't done this as often, and it was just an interesting sort of balance of the two of them.
Yeah. So, what did you make of their press conferences as well?
I think, I mean, you can tell that Carolina's done more and she's used to having to face the press because she came in prepared and she seemed to do a very good job. I think when Christina came in, I think the enormity of what she's done had kind of settled in on her, and she seemed to be very subdued almost, I'd say, and it's kind of difficult for her to answer. I think that's why a couple of us tried to find slightly more quirky questions to bring a smile, because, you know, it looked like the victory had like hit a bit of a brick.
Well, for me, that's the last game I'll see in Birmingham, and I've really enjoyed it. And it was a really nice way to end the part of the week that I've been up here. You're going to be staying here, I guess, until the end?
I will be staying here till the end, and then it's a quick zip back down to London, and then hopefully down to Eastbourne on Monday morning.
Well, I hope we see each other there. Thanks ever so much, Roz, as always.
You're very welcome.
This last few weeks has been fantastic for meeting some of the alternative voices in British journalism. Amongst these are Tumaini Kariol, Anne-Marie Batson, Alex McPherson, Michael Stafford-Jones, and of course Roz, who I spent time with today. People like these are sorely needed in tennis. They're not jaded like some of those who've been doing this for years, and they offer different voices and thoughts to the status quo. Tennis needs a shake-up. After all, the players are in a process of change. Maybe it's time for the same to happen with the press. You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series. And when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster. And Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.
Knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.